And now Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, look, all my folks are up there, all my relatives.
Would you mind if we said hello to everybody before we get into any discussion with you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't put
No, that's all. We'll get to it in just a second. No, we weren't really correcting
you. We should watch it from here out.
Good evening, everyone.
How are you, dear friends? Now, what were you saying?
What is it?
I'm saying that all my friends and relatives are listening. And I wonder if I could tonight play Jealousy at the huge Bob and Ray studio console.
Ray, we got a very tight schedule tonight. Let me look down.
How many relatives do you have with me, anyway?
Well, I would say there's my aunt, my uncle, and my cousin, and my old lady. And they've stored into some friends, so there must be about 10 people around.
All right.
Small little table radio.
I was just looking at the schedule, and I think we do have a few 3 minutes.
A small table radio.
Oh, you don't have to translate for me. What are you saying?
I said we are looking at the schedule, and we have a little slack time here, so why don't you go over, and maybe we'll hear the whole
random. I'm going to do it, Mom!
Don't talk directly.
You can't give personal messages like that.
No, that's not.
All fired.
Just go over the organ, and here, ladies and gentlemen,
Jealousy, Bob, you're an amazing girl. It's on a paper.
Okay. Well, I think they're going to enjoy this as well as all of us here. Ray, can we step out while he does?
Sure.
Webby Webster at the console with Jealousy. Talking about the goings-on in Big Town, USA, here on Up in the Morning with Winch. Liz, what's new?
Ed, I hear the Indian playboy, Ramat Singh, is back in town, scattering money around like water.
Yes, he's a real Maharaj jerk. You should read what Mr. P. Franklin had to say about exceeding one's income, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, the rumor's true about Happy Delmonico, the famous comedian causing dissension backstage.
Yes, this TVTV has his video associates worried about his late arrivals at the studio and his constant refusals to leave the backstage area in order to emcee his own show while it's in progress, from great to ingrate.
Ed, I hear the Marvin Strobels are expecting their 10th child soon. Is that true?
Yes, they certainly keep the sparks flying. Mrs. Strobel is former Corin knockout, Buddha Eiffel, Joan Storm.
And, Ed, is it true that you've been barred from another night spot?
Yes, and I won't even mention the club owner's name. Let's just say he's Distrodius, and forget the item.
Ed, there's a man out west who does the same sort of thing you do on radio. Have you heard about him?
Yes, and I have a message for him, Liz. Mr. Microphony, while you're taking Bravo K's for your broadcast, remember this. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Now, last week, I came down with a virus. Think you can do the same, Mr. Copy Fathead?
Is the Al Rockwell-Alma Libby romance off again, Ed?
Yes, they're doing their parties at separate tables.
And I hear the Don Cutlers are having their troubles, too.
That's right. Don is a pilot for South Central Airlines, and their marriage is up in the air. Mrs. C is former Prussia lovely Iris Beechwood.
Any inside information on gangland, Ed?
I have a tip for the boys in blue, Liz. Racket sap Eddie Brockway is back on the streets again, a free man. None of us will rest until this mad dog, this mongrel or maniac, is behind bars once more. Are you listening, Politico RJ?
Are there any new hit songs or hit shows along the Rialto, Ed?
Yes, a new Sarko musical called Meet Me in Pittsburgh. The first snipers couldn't stop clap-plotting. The show is a happy blending of corn and old jokes. I counted 34 Stan Eavesdroppers on opening night. Definitely a cash smash.
But didn't Meet Me in Pittsburgh close last night, Ed?
Right. Even though the show was good, the cast had put on a demonstration that will soon be forgotten in these parts.
And what is your colorful description of Wall Street, Ed?
The New York Stockyard, a place where millions of people change hands every day.
I think you mean dollars, not hands, Ed.
And today's wrap-up item, Ed Winch's gal, secretary, just became an unemployed dope. 30 for now.
Some time ago, I re-ran a contest in which each contestant had to write a letter explaining in 25 words or less why he or she would enjoy owning a German Shepherd puppy dog.
Well, the response was overwhelming.
And it kept our mailroom clerk busy for months.
The winners were difficult to select.
After a good deal of thought, our judges were finally able to choose three top winners,
all of whom were sent German Shepherd puppies.
The winners of the contest were Neil Deacon of Hartford, Connecticut, Mrs. May Hannison of Cleaver Falls, Montana, and Charles Brody of Burbank, California.
Well, just last week, we received a frantic call from the owner of the kennel which had supplied the German Shepherd puppy.
He was full of remorse and guilt.
He explained to us that he had made a once-in-a-lifetime mistake.
He told us the German Shepherd puppies were not German Shepherd puppies at all, but baby wolves.
Well, now, you can imagine our dismay when we heard that. Those wolves are a year and a half old by now.
Our hearts here at the Bob and Ray Show go out to the free contest winners who have the wolves in their home.
We hope the wolves haven't turned on the contest winners or members of their family.
We also hope the wolves are being fed by our contest winners.
Because wolves are notoriously bad actors when hungry.
And we've been thinking that and a lot of other negative things about the situation.
So all week long, we've been working on a plan designed to ease the burden of the contest winners.
That's what we decided. We'd be perfectly willing to set out and visit each of our contest winners, accompanied by proper animal authorities, and remove the wolves from their home.
But since the winners live at such widely scattered points as Connecticut, Montana, and California, such a trip is not feasible from a time standpoint.
So we decided to visit our contest winners at 6-month intervals.
And as yet, we haven't decided which city to visit first.
So, in all fairness, we're asking each of you lucky contest winners to sit down and write a letter telling us,
in 25 words or less,
why you think the wolf should be removed from your home first.
And we're even prepared to give you wolf owners a little help.
Just finish this sentence. I'd rather not have a wolf in my home because...
Now, ordinarily, we supply helpful clues in our 25 words or less contest.
We don't feel that it's necessary in this case.
That's right. You wolf owners know your household situations far better than we do.
So we're not going to presume to suggest reasons why you'd rather not have a wolf around.
Just have your letters in before midnight of November 31st.
This time, we decided to overlook counting neatness as a factor.
Realizing, as we do, that any letters you write may have to be written on the run.
And once again, we're sorry.
So send in your letters soon.
And we sincerely hope none of your contest winners has been inconvenienced.
To move rapidly now, if we're to call in the Bob and Ray Trophy Train in Columbus, Ohio. Come in, please. Arthur Schrank.
Hi, everybody. Arthur Schrank here in Columbus, Ohio. We're broadcasting through the facilities of WBNS here in the Buckeye Capital and Richard A. Burrell, who runs this little station. Well, it's not a little station. I mean, it's a... Hi, everybody. This is Arthur Schrank. He runs that little
big station, and don't forget it.
It's a big station, and I'm not going to forget it in a long while. Here is Richard A. Burrell with WBNS Columbus. Take it away.
Thank you very much. We don't have very much time. I've been given a signal that we have less than a minute here, but I would like to thank you, Schrank, and to extend my thanks to Bob and Ray for sending their trophy train here to Columbus.
Speaking for Bob and Ray.
I wasn't finished yet, Frank. Several of the people who have examined all of the trophies and paid some of their hard-earned money for pictures of the trophies have said that they doubt whether the sneakers which is supposed to be worn by Ray in grammar school, were really his. Can you clear that up or not?
Speaking for Bob and Ray, Mr. Burrell, we want to thank you for those kind words.
So what about the sneakers? I think they're facsimile sneakers.
Well, I can't vouch for the authenticity of any of these.
They don't think when Ray was a little boy, they were making sneakers that way.
Well, I don't know. I'll have to check with them. I do believe, though, that Bob and Ray certainly wouldn't perpetrate a fraud, particularly on your great Buckeyes in Columbus.
Well, the sneakers are the only fly in the ointment. Other than that, we've had a very enjoyable visit.
Well, thank you. Well, take it off the train. It's time for us to go.
Goodbye, Trophy Crane.
Goodbye. Okay, Wallace. Take it away.
Goodbye, goodbye. I wish you all a last goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, goodbye. I wish you a last goodbye.
Thank you. We'll have a word from Eddie Fisher in just 10 seconds.
As promised, a word from Eddie Fisher.
I hope you'll play the record often, and please remember that every time you do, it'll be appreciated by yours truly, happy, downhearted Eddie Fisher. Thank you.
Until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get worried.
I'll tell you, it reminds you to hang by your thumb.